to AU to AZ, number 7. Man, we're getting up there. Today we're talking about Google Forms. Today for me it's, well, you know what? She just has the time up there and it says October 8th, but it's actually October 7th for me, October 8th for Miss Jennifer over in Australia. How are you, Jennifer?
Hello, Roddy. I'm fine here. It's a beautiful day in sunny Queensland.
Excellent. We have a bright and clear day today. It is beautiful here in Arizona.
You always have that though, don't you?
Oh, well, you know, yeah, we do.
So you might be excited if you see some clouds one day, I think. I remember Catherine Burdick being very excited about clouds in Tucson. Madly taking photos.
Well, there are big, beautiful clouds. Right now, it's 33.
Okay. I think we're in the 20s, so it's it'll be nice today.
That was a little bit earlier this morning.
You say?
Tomato.
And I say tomato. You say?
Ames.
And I say nap plan. You say?
Common Core.
And I say Australian curriculum. You say?
Elementary.
And I say primary. But we both say learning. Have you been using Google Forms, Rodney?
I have. I've used it myself, personally, as well as in my professional, in my career, in my working within schools.
Yeah, what I like really about, probably about all the Google different things you can use in Google presentations and forms and docs. I like the way that you can customize it and make it exactly like you want it. Because, I mean, you can get tests and surveys and things that are already made, but there's always something not that you don't want.
Right. Well, you know, I'm more of a right, as far as the tests and documents and those different types of things, it's really great that you can put those in. Mm. I also like more the fashion and format. A form is a form is a form is a form. But at the same time, if you change it as far as colors are concerned, it makes it really good. I really have enjoyed the whole bunch of templates that they have that they shared. But at the same time, I have things that I want to put on there as far as colors and designs and formats, which, as far as I know, I haven't seen yet.
So you'd like to be able to put your own background, for instance, on it.
Right. My background, my header, you know, but we'll see what happens.
One day. Yeah. So using Google Forms in the classroom, Rodney, we've been looking up some resources, and one of the ones we've found is Flubaroo.
did an Australian come up with that name?
I'm not sure. But it's a very interesting thing to use with Google Forms, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really neat because it takes a form that children and students or participants have put information in, and it will grade it for them.
Yes.
Of course, you have to have an answer key and those different types of things, but it does make it a lot easier to grade things quickly.
Yeah, and if you're doing Google Forms where there are certain answers and not open-ended questions, that would be suitable.
Right.
So we found a couple of YouTube videos that show you about using them. And one of them that's been made by Mark Anderson has a pretty good guide to using Flubaroo and Google Forms.
Right.
And I find a lot of YouTube videos are really helpful, aren't they?
They are. They are really helpful because it just gives you a walkthrough of how they work and what you could possibly do.
Yeah. So Mark Anderson from the UK has that one going, which we'll put on our notes, our show notes, and you can watch it and actually work out how you can set up a Google form that is assessed automatically using Flubaroo.
Right. If you haven't tried this tool, you need to check it out and see how it works. And also let us know how you have used it in your class, how it integrates, because I'd like to make sure, I like to see how it actually applies in the classroom.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess before you can use Fluberoo, you really need to know how to make Google Forms. So that might be something that people would need to know as well.
Well, there's other YouTube videos about how to use Google Forms.
Yeah. So in the classroom, you know, trying to work out some different ways to use Google Forms, there is a really good presentation, a shared presentation, that's been collated by Tom Barrett. And he has lots of these different ways to use different things in the classroom. Have you seen them?
I have seen every single one of them.
Have you?
In the presentation.
So he makes a Google shared presentation and then invites people to add to it, and different people from around the world will add their thoughts. So this is 80 ways, but actually I think it's up to 81 the last time I looked.
Yes, it is up to 81.
Yes, so 81 ways to use Google Forms in your classroom. There are lots and lots of different ideas on there. I see you've picked out some from the presentation.
One of the ways of how to use Google Forms in your classroom I found to be really neat is five value words, things that you found that were valuable. Now, it's not necessarily what the way is that was suggested, but I think that for me, I would use that in a way that I would gather information, what are the key points that you would like to learn in a professional development session, and then to be able to share that with those people. And then to create a wordle of the words, a word cloud of the words, and share that so that way you can make sure that all those people will understand that these are the key points that you said, and then coming back to it at the end and reflecting, saying, did we meet every single one? Did we answer all of these questions?
Yeah. That would make sense. That would be a great way to quickly gather information. I guess that's what Google Forms is really great at, very quickly gathering some information and then being able to do something with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I noticed here you also were talking about feedback forms, especially for parents. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. You know, the parents have questions. Parents always have questions about what's going on in the classroom, or is there homework, or what can I work on, or what can I do? And when you have a feedback form, that would help them to say, hey, these are the things that I'm concerned about. What can we do to change them? Or those different types of things. I know that our school district has a feedback form that parents fill out, either online or on paper. This just makes it a little bit more localized for a teacher, taking some of those questions from that original or big feedback form and saying and asking them to fill this out. If you have questions, what can I do to help? Those different types of things. And then also questions on what parents are willing to do to help in the class as well as outside the class. And so that way it develops more of a community between the teacher and the parents.
Yeah, and perhaps if you'd like some information about parents as well and they're willing to give you some information, that can be useful as well for these forms. And I think because you can put in it whatever you like is the beauty of it. So you may have one that the district uses, but as you say, getting it local down to your classroom level by using a Google Forms, you can put things in it that are exactly just for your classroom. You know, can you help with the fish on Friday or something? So really great. I've used it recently for surveying parents for our use of IT in our schools. And we're looking at our rollout for next year. So I've made a Google form for students to fill in as well, one for students about what sort of IT they use at home, just to get an idea of what they've got at home. And then about five different ways they could use IT at school, and they wanting them to select which way they prefer to use IT, because our students have actually had various different forms of use of their IT. They've had a one-to-one where you take home 24/7 rollout.
Uh-huh.
They've had the shared in-school rollout where you get to use lots of different sorts of devices.
Huh.
And then they've had, a bit of both. So sort of questioning and putting out that form for them and getting them to fill it in class. So it's we know it's filled in and they don't have to go home and do it in case, you know, we still have a couple that don't have internet, which can be a problem.
Yeah.
So using forms for doing that sort of thing and then asking parents, which way would you like your child to be using technology next year, and giving them some different selections that they can choose from, and just seeing what the overall view of parents and students are on their use of IT in schools. So that's going to be interesting when I get them all collated together.
Are you going to use a feature called the summary of responses?
Yes, I'll be using that, the summary of responses, so you can get a quick glimpse of what's been said by people.
That is a wonderful feature.
It is. It lets you see all your answers very, very nicely and quickly, so that's a great system.
Yeah.
Another
way that was shared with using Google Forms in your class that I wanted to highlight was organizing projects.
Okay.
There's lots of different ways to organize projects. I mean, I can think of figuring out what team is going to present on what topic, what team will be leading the Skype in the classroom, what individual will do certain jobs for a project.
Yep.
So that way there's no overlap. It's a lot of really great ways to get that information quickly and to have it in a spreadsheet, simple spreadsheet for you.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Then you know exactly who's doing what and it's all organized.
Right.
So there are lots of other ideas that you can look at in that presentation, 81 ways. We won't mention them all. Another four ways to use Google Forms was written up by Susan Oxnavard. Do you think you say it like that? I'm not very good at saying her last name.
Sounds great to me.
And her Twitter handle is Soxnavad, at Soxnavad. And she's written up four different ways. And one of them that's a fairly recent one is being able to embed YouTube videos into your Google Docs form.
Wow.
And then under that, having questions or fields where they can comment as part of the form. So that's a really nice little thing to be able to do. So, you know, students can watch a video and then underneath perhaps have some questions or have some comment fields, boxes to fill in, writing their thoughts. A really nice use of video.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah. She also mentioned using Flubaroo for self-grading quizzes, and as well as embedding YouTubes, being able to embed images onto a Google Form and then have the image used for different uses. You know, images are great prompts for writing.
Yes, so, they are.
You know, you can just have an image there and then students click into a text field and write their response to that image. And then, you know, using your summary, you've got everyone's writing there in front of you. They've already handed it in.
That is just mind-blowing because you have everything already for you right there.
Yeah, it makes it really easy. And you know, images are such great prompts for writing. Another idea that Susan had was using Google Docs form as an exit ticket. So at the end of a class or at the end of a unit, having students fill out a form about their unit and their learning. That's an idea, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's actually one that Lynn Horn and I have done in our professional development for the last 2 years. Before the teachers leave for that session, we would say, okay, take the next 5 minutes. You have your email, a Google form, go ahead and fill it out. And they sent us their responses. It was really good.
Yeah, because some professional developments, you know, you get handed a sheet to fill in.
Uh-huh.
And they don't all get handed back in.
Right.
At the end of the session. So that's one way of collating it really quickly. And being able to look at that summary, you're getting the instant feedback and collation of it, which is great.
Absolutely. Just so you know, my whole district is using Google Form as a professional development feedback. So our curriculum and instruction director has scheduled a link that goes out to all the teachers after a professional development day. And when it sends out, then they have the opportunity to click on the link, and there's the entire professional development feedback form, and they fill it in.
Mm.
And you still have the same issues, though, with turning in paper or filling out the form.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Mm. But we aim for about 25%.
Yeah. I guess a lot of the users are looking at assessment, aren't they? And,
yes, they are.
I always think of assessment as three different types of assessment. Assessment for learning, so before you're going to be starting doing something, assessing to see what people know, already know, so you can then decide what you're going to be looking at next. Teaching, assessing as you're learning, as you're going along with the learning, doing a bit of assessment to see how everyone's going with it. And then at the end of learning, assessment of the learning, sort of a bit like the exit ticket, I guess, isn't it?
Right. And a lot of the ways that the way that we've used ours is after learning, but more of the evaluation of the sessions themselves. Were they,
how they were run and the actual running of the professional development.
Right.
More than
right.
the content.
We do have some content questions. Can you use them? What do you use?
Yeah.
What are you going to take away? How are you going to use it?
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
But more ours is more tended toward the analysis of the actual professional program.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you like the biscuits? I'm on too. I've also used forms for my Skype Around the World. I set up a registration form for that teachers to fill in, and then once they've filled that in, we can get them on board when we're running our Skype Around the World projects. So Google Forms are really great for global use because everyone has access to Google. It's not like you need something special. So that makes it really good.
Is it time for that already?
Is it time?
For the Skype Around the World again?
I have one on the drawing board for October 25th. So we'll see whether it comes about or not. I haven't been very good with the timing of it. The timing of it hasn't been very good. So it's sitting there, but I don't know whether it will go ahead or not.
Okay. Let me know if it goes ahead.
If it goes ahead, I'm going to have to work day and night really hard to get it off the ground. So we'll see how it goes with
okay.
that. There are so many ways of using Google Forms that... Really, I think the 80 ways is probably not even half the amount of ways that you can use them. But I think having a go and actually setting up a form is what teachers need to do. Make something really simple just to gather some easy information. And
yes.
Did I ever tell you about the midnight Google Forms lesson I took?
You know what? Our listeners have not heard that story.
Paul, you have. But anyway, it was during one of our Around the World in 24-hour Skypes where we stay at school for 24 hours. And they weren't going – there was a time in the night where I thought, well, maybe they can get a little bit of sleep here. So they all bedded down in their sleeping bags and things, but it wasn't happening. They weren't going to sleep. So I put on some music and turned on the lights and they all got up and we all – co-worked on a Google form, and I showed them how to create a Google form, and we actually made one for our participants to use to get some feedback on the actual Skype experience. So that was really great to co-create together a Google form with the students, and then students could go off and make their own forms and gather some information about various things that they were working on in their classes.
That is neat.
Yeah, and they could use it in maths, for instance. You know, when you go around with bits of paper and do surveys and collect data.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they could do this using Google Forms, and quite easily everyone could fill in their form, and they got all their information, which was great. So, quite often, co-creating with students gives them a really good idea of how to do it, and then they can go off and create their own forms as well. What's the difference between a form and a poll?
To me, a poll is a question and a set of predetermined responses. And it's a whole bunch of people that collect the information and then they collect the responses and they give what people kind of suggests based upon these predetermined questions and responses. Form, I think, takes many different ways in that there are short answer, they are essay, they can be a long paragraph form, they can be multiple choice, as well as a whole bunch of things that can be selected, can be the right answer, or there could be only one right answer. I think that it's a different way of collecting information.
Yes, and having those open-ended text boxes where people could just write in their comment or their answer rather than choosing from certain answers makes it different, doesn't it?
Yes, to me it does.
Yes. And also, Rodney, did you know you can actually, in Google Forms, you can actually put forks in?
Okay, you said forks. Okay, wait a minute. Branching.
Or branches, yeah, forks or branches, yeah. So that you can branch out and people can choose certain answers, and then once they choose a certain answer, that takes them to a different page with a different piece of information.
I did know that. That is absolutely awesome. I have not used that before, but
It's a bit like if this, then that.
Okay.
When you think about it, you have to make extra pages in the actual form for it to be able to work. Each selection has to be on a separate page. So you have to make new pages, and then when you are adding the branch out, you can then select from the different pages. If they answer this answer, it's going to go to this page. And if they answer this one, it's going to go to this page. So looks really interesting, doesn't it?
It does. It really is neat. And that is a feature that a lot of people had shied away initially from Google Forms is because it didn't have a branching feature. They wanted to be able to get to exactly where the participant wanted to go based upon this branching. So that is really neat.
Yeah, really, really great. And you could almost coach someone along by using it and coach them to end up with the correct information.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think it'd be a really great way to get to the bottom of certain issues that people might have as far as professional development or an issue as far as like an IT request. Well, what's your issue? Well, it's this or that. Well, it's this. Okay, then. And so it's more of the questioning.
Yeah, Google Forms is great. I just heard you mention something that I picked up. Google Forms is great for teachers to put in different things they would requirements from their tech people when they're having issues. If your school's got a form like that, that can be just local.
Yes.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And talking about that, since I do some what people call IT work, I go and I work with teachers in their classrooms. I've created a service form where I write in, actually I type in the name of the teacher, what school I'm at, and what their issue is and what I did to solve it. So that way it gives me an additional documentation of what I've done throughout a day.
Yeah. And you can use it for lots of things like that. So it keeps you knowing what you've been doing, and you can look back on it and say, well, this has happened so many times, maybe we need to do something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You can see patterns forming.
See, we got it. You understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, once you've made up your forms in Google Forms, sometimes the problem is how you share that form.
Yes.
And there are some different ways that you can share it very cleverly, depending which gadget you're on, I suppose, depending which technology you're using. I guess if you're signed up and using Google Apps for Education, it makes sharing very easy because you have your groups made up and you can just share it to a group and they've all got the access to the document or the form.
Right.
But if you're not using that, you'd be wanting to use some other things like just hotspots, links on a web page. And in Google Forms, it actually allows you, when you go to sharing, it gives you different options on sharing, and it gives you a URL that you can use to link to on a website or in a blog even. You can put it in a blog.
Now, with that said, Jenny, I have to highlight this. When you get your link, you need to make sure that when you share it, that you change the permissions on that document.
Yes, you need to make sure that the document can be used by people.
Right, either viewed or that it can be viewed, especially with your forms, and then people can type in their information. Because if you don't do that, then they're going to go, hey, I can't access this. Please give me permissions.
that's right, yes. So I think you can also embed the form, can't you?
Yes, you can.
So that they don't just have a link, but they actually see the form, which is really nice.
Yes.
And then they don't have to click and go off somewhere else. It's just on the page looking at them for them to fill out. So embedding the form is really nice. You get the code. You just copy and paste the code into the right place on the website where you're putting it.
That's right. That's really handy, especially if you have a blog that you want to gather information directly from that blog, then having them to click on it to go to another page.
Yes, yes. I guess email is a really standard basic way of sharing it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You can email it out to people, and if you've got a mailing list or something, groups made up in your mail, then you can just email it out to those groups, and that's an easy way to share it. Another way that I've found is by using Chirp, which is an app.
Really?
Chirp you can use on your iPad or on your iPhone. I'm not sure if there's an Android version.
You know what? I'm pretty sure it's not.
Oh, okay.
Is it Chirp Me or just Chirp?
Just Chirp, C-H-I-R-P. It's actually an iPhone app, but it runs very nicely on your iPad as well. And it allows you to put a URL in it, of course. And you share your URL, and then the other person just picks it up on Chirp. So that's really nice.
Is it a yellow?
Yes.
Yellow box with two little eyes and a nose?
Yes.
I have Chirp.
Oh, yeah, you
got
Chirp.
Sorry,
yep. So that's a nice way to share. The other way, of course, is by using QR codes. And once you've got the URL for the form, you can then put that in and create a QR code for it and put it on the QR code. And then people just scan the QR code and the form will come onto their device.
Huh.
So that's a nice way to get it. They just have to have a QR code reader on their device, don't they?
Yes, they do. You know, really quickly, I know it's a side note, I'll come right back. It was interesting to see how many people at Mobile 2013 had never used a QR code reader.
Yeah, very interesting.
That was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's okay.
Yeah. I've noticed when I was in the UK and here in Australia, QR codes are everywhere now, on all products, in magazines. You can even get an app now that lets you look through your magazine and have all different things happen. And, of course, the QR codes are all through magazines, and they're just everywhere now, aren't they?
Yeah, there are a lot of places.
Yeah. So I guess people just look at them and think, well, I wonder what that is. And other people scan them. I know some coffee places now, you scan the QR code and it gives you your coffee that you're collecting your cups to get a free cup. So, QR codes is a quick way of sharing if you've got those sort of devices that have QR code readers. And I guess if you didn't want to make and print a new QR code all the time, you could use Gorilla Scan, which is a website that allows you to change the URL that's on your QR code. So you can keep the QR code up there on the wall laminated, today's QR code, and then just be in the back end changing the URL that's on there so that today when the students come in and scan the QR code, there is a different form on there. But you haven't
had... So it's a dynamic link.
Well, it's called Gorilla Scan, and it allows you to go back and look at your QR code and change the URL that's linked to it.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So that's great because, you know, printing out the code and, you know, all that sort of thing is time-consuming.
It is. Mm. It's very time-consuming.
Mm.
And you've got to make sure that you keep changing it too, which makes it really not good.
Yeah, so Gorilla Scan is a great thing to use for QR codes when you want to change what's on them. All righty, getting back to forms. I think we've covered forms pretty well today. And I think there's a lot more that you can do with forms that we haven't mentioned in scripting and all sorts of things that people do with forms. But yep. I think if people just go into Google Forms and have a go at setting up one, see how easy it is to set it up, share it with a friend and get them to fill it out and see how it goes.
Yes, let us know how you have used Google Forms in your classroom or personally.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be great for, I just had a thought of literacy and feedback on literature that students are reading. Another good read. And we didn't even mention maths, did we, once you get into that? So it's just limitless what you can do with Google Forms. Well, thanks, yes, Rodney. Thanks for today.
Well, thank you, Jenny. We've had lots of good stuff, all in good form.
All in good form. It certainly was. I hope our listeners have got something they can go away and find out about and start using something that may help them in their classrooms.
Absolutely. So that's our episode for today, talking about Google Forms. We've talked a lot about how to use them in different ways, some scripts that you can use for your testing, for how to use it for feedback forms or a checkout system and using them with your students. There's lots of really great things, just like you mentioned, Jenny. So hopefully you find something that is really great for you, and let us know anything that you would like to, anything that you've shared or anything that you found that was really neat that you want to share back with us. Go ahead and put it in a comment in our show notes, and we'll be glad to read what you have.
Bye for now.
Bye.